Now, on the other side, this is May 30th, 1976, and we are still in the Junction City area. On the other side of the tape, we have heard Siri mentioned several times, and I think it's time that we talk with Siri. Would you give us your full name, Siri?
Sigrid Marie Rasmussen.
What was your maiden name?
Mølgaard Petersen.
And you were born in Denmark?
That's right. I was born in Skive, the northern part of Jutland.
Would you mind telling us when you were born?
I was born in 1928.
And just, we're going to go back again, but at this time let us establish about what time you came to the United States, at what age?
I came in December 1949, and I was 21 years old.
So that you really are one of the newer immigrants?
Yes, right around here I certainly am one of the newest.
Now, going back to Denmark, would you tell us your parents' name? And I would like your mother's maiden name also. Mm-hmm.
My dad's name was Lars Petersen, and my mother's name was Katrine Mølgaard. And they were both born and raised and lived their entire lives in on a small peninsula, which is a part of Jutland called Salling.
Mm-hmm. And what type of work did your father do?
When my parents were married, they moved from the country into Skive, and my dad did different types of work. He had his own trucking or truck business for a while, and from that, and a lumber type business, and then from there he went into working for a seed and feed business, and he continued with that until he retired.
How big a family were you?
We were seven children.
And could we have the names of the seven?
The oldest, Stina, Ove, Niels, Greta, myself, Henry, and Inge.
Now, your mother had a family of seven. Did she by any chance do any work outside the home? Did she hold a job of any kind?
Well, she held a job besides being a homemaker, but it was inside the home. She sewed for businesses downtown. She sewed curtains. And so she really was always very, very busy because she had a large family to take care of, and she also spent many hours sewing.
Now, do you remember any of your grandparents?
Yes, I do. I remember my mother's parents. They lived out in the country, and they had a farm. And I remember several summers that I would go out and spend, I don't remember how long a period of time with them, but it was probably a week or two at a time. And I really don't. I remember my grandmother as being a very quiet woman and a very kind woman. And of course, she wore a long dress, and she always wore a kerchief, it seemed like, whether she was inside or outside. But I don't really have any real. I just remember her as sort of a, I remember her as a person who was very kind and good, but I don't remember having any real person-to-person communication with her. It was just a feeling I had for her.
Could we have their names also?
Her name was Daughter, and my grandfather's name was Niels Mølgaard.
Now, at the time that you were growing up and you went to school in Denmark, could you tell us a little bit about that schooling, what kind of schooling you had?
Well, I went to school just a few blocks away from my home, and I guess the one thing that I remember most about my schooling in Denmark was the fact that during that period of time the German invasion took place, and otherwise I remember that I always enjoyed going to school. As a matter of fact, I would rather be in school than anywhere else. And I spent 7 years in the schooling or in the Danish school system, and then after that I became apprenticed and served a 4-year apprenticeship in an office, first in a lawyer's office for a year, and then I changed from there to a newspaper office, a social democratic newspaper office, where I was sort of an all-around office girl, and I took care of the books and the telephone and all sorts of other things.
Do you remember any of the incidents of the German occupation
that affected you or your family?
Yes, I remember many, many things about the German occupation because it affected my family directly on different accounts or on different instances. One of my brothers actually was a member of the Danish underground movement, and then another brother actually went to Germany and worked for the Germans down there.
So that it did affect you strongly.
Yes,
as a child and left
it didn't affect me directly, but I saw the effect it had on my family, or on my parents in particular, and I guess I have memories about that upset me.
Well, let's go on. You were in the newspaper office.
Yes, that was quite an education to be in a newspaper office. It so happened that the editor there was. That I was related to him through my sister, my older sister, and he always took a very special interest in me. And during my time there as an apprentice, you know, I worked during the day and then I had to go to school in the evening. And I remember one time that I got a very bad grade in whatever course I was taking, or one of the courses I was taking. And
bad grade, Sigurd, it should be noted, is one step below excellent.
And I remember that Nørhaven, you know, my editor there called me in and he really gave me a stern lecture, and he said, "Now I don't expect this to ever happen again." And I don't know, I just had a very special feeling for him because he took such a personal interest in me.
Now, when you speak of the Social Democrat, that brings to mind, did you ever belong to any of the young people's organizations in Denmark? DSU or DUI?
Yes, I did. I was a member of, I don't think I was a member of DUE, but I was a member of the DSU, which is, I guess, it's dividing the young people into two age groups, mm-hmm. and DSU is the older, or it would be like older teenagers and young adults. Yes, I was a member of that as a result of working at that newspaper because it was expected that I join. This really was not the, I think it upset my folks some that I had to join because they were not really leaning that way politically. But since I was expected to join, I joined, and we didn't really discuss it. But I always felt that they disliked me joining. This, of course, got me into contact with a group of young people that I probably would not have met otherwise. And as a result, I was a part of a youth group that gathered from all over the world in Copenhagen in the summer of, I think it was 1947, the Socialdemokratisk Ungdoms World Conference, or something like that, which was really a great event for me.
Do you feel now, as you reflect back, that this was a period that was valuable in your life?
Oh, most definitely. It expanded my understanding of the world, and I met many, many people, many, many different people that I probably would not have had a chance to meet in Skive otherwise.
The initials for that organization. What did those initials mean?
They stand for Den Socialdemokratiske Ungdom, or the Social Democratic Youth Movement.
Now, did that have any? Did that influence you to go on to ASCO, or was that some other thing that made you go to ASCO eventually?
Um, Right across the street from the Dinsichet, the place that I worked for the paper, there was another newspaper office, and I knew some of the people who worked there, amongst them a young woman about my own age, and she had enrolled to go to ASCO about the time that I was done with my apprenticeship. Now, it so happened that the Social Democrats had a folk high school in Denmark, which was politically oriented. And as a matter of fact, I briefly thought about going to that. That happens to be located in Roskilde. And I talked to Nørhaven, my editor, about that.
Whether Did they have the name of the school? What do you, is there a distinct name for that school? If you don't know, it's all right. We'll pass it over.
I don't know if there is a distinct name.
Well, that's all right.
It wouldn't be Arbeiter High School, would it, Jerry?
That's what it was called, probably, I think. But I'm not sure. Mm. Just not sure.
Well, go on with your friend across the street.
Well, anyway, Nørhaven, the editor, my boss, I talked to him about, I remember discussing with him whether I should go to ASCO or whether I should go to Roskilde. And he said, you should go to ASCO. He said, you'll get much more out of going to ASCO. It'll broaden your views much more. I remember being very surprised because here was this old social democrat who had really been in on the social democratic movement from the very beginning, and yet I think he felt that it could be a narrow experience for me, not a widening up experience for me. So he suggested that or supported me in my wish to go to ASCO, so I enrolled at ASCO and went for 2 years, for two winters.
And studied there and lived at the place as it's a boarding school.
Yes, it's a boarding school. And
just as a reflection, do you remember what it cost you to go to ASCO?
No, I really have no recollection. I remember that I was able to get some kind of a small amount of aid from the state that you applied for, and of course that was given to you according to what your monetary need was.
Now, you met Jerry at ASCO and then eventually decided to come to the United States. What were your parents' reaction when they heard you were going to be going so far away?
They were very unhappy and quiet and very upset, and not just because I was going so far away, but because Jerry had not finished his education yet.
I recall, too, being well accepted by the entire family. I think I was accepted by them, and the feeling was certainly mutual. I really liked all of the family. The problem was simply that our marriage involved immigration. And the question there were two questions that were raised. One, we ought to really wait to get married, and that think it over, and then that surely wouldn't hurt to wait a year or two. And the second was that I wasn't finished with my education, and that I should be finished with that first. And both those thoughts were introduced to me by Sigurd's parents.
But they didn't they didn't put any obstacle in your way.
No, they didn't. I remember that we talked briefly about wedding plans, and I think they were not, since they weren't for the wedding, they were not really in favor of making any wedding plans. And then at some point or other, Jerry and I began making wedding plans of our own, and I think that convinced them that we were really serious and that we had gotten to a point of no return. And so then, of course, they took over the planning of the wedding, and it was held in my hometown in Skive Gamle Kirke.
Now, at the time that you came here, did you have to make any special applications in order to immigrate to the United States?
Yes, I did. This was, as I said, we were married in July 1949, and at that time, Denmark had a certain quota to fill each year, and of course they had many, many more applications each year than they had
places.
Since I was married to an American, I bypassed the quota system, and I just made my application, and it went through just as fast as it could go, and I believe I applied for entrance into the United States in August, I believe, and by November I had my papers all ready to go.
Jerry, did you have to make any arrangements or did you have to consult with the American Embassy on the marriage?
No, I did not have to make to consult with the embassy in any way, and the only thing that I had to do was, once back in this country, the old Immigration Act required some sort of statement from someone to guarantee that the individual would not become a burden to the state. And since I was without an income or a job, I had to get my father to write that statement.
We still have that statement.
Yes.
Did you have a preconceived notion of the United States, and was that fulfilled or was it not fulfilled?
I didn't have a preconceived notion of the United States at all. I imagine that during the war years from 1940 to 45 that we probably had less information about the outside world than we normally would have had, since, you know, everything was about the German and the war, wherever it was raging. I must have known something about the United States, and I am afraid that some of it came through the movies, which of course in many, many instances was a very inaccurate picture of the United States. So I think I came just with a totally open mind, if that's a correct expression to use. No, I didn't have any preconceived notions, and I think I have been open for all the impressions I have received.
Have you attended any school since you came to this country?
Well,
yes.
Starting with right now.
Well, I guess I can work my way back. Right now, I am attending school at Lane Community College, and I have been for the last 2 years on a more or less not quite full-time basis, but certainly half-time basis. And prior to that, I have taken a class at Lane Community College, at least one class each year. Prior to that, again, I took several classes at Grandview College in Des Moines, Iowa, and I can't remember if my schooling goes further back than that. Oh, of course, I went to school when I first came, because in order to become a citizen, I had to have some knowledge of the Constitution and the form of government that we have here, so I took a correspondence course in American history, and here is my husband, an American history student, and I'm sure he must have helped me some, but I still did all the reading and sent in my papers, and so I guess that was my very first experience with schooling.
Was there ever any particular feelings about giving up your Danish citizenship and becoming an American citizen? What were there feelings involved in this particular act?
No, I think that this happened after I had been in this country 5 years, I think. And we had, our oldest girl was born, and I was expecting the second one. And I don't remember feeling badly about giving up my Danish citizenship. It seemed like a natural outcome of my decision of having married Jerry and having children, that seemed like a natural thing then to become a part of the country by becoming a citizen.
You mean having children who themselves be American citizens?
Yeah, who were, yeah, by the very fact that they were born here, American citizens.
How much English did you speak when you came?
I spoke very little English. I had, as I told you earlier, attended school for 7 years at home. And during that period of time, I had a little bit of English in a class with a teacher who played the violin, and for the most part played the violin, and we sang American songs, and then we did a little bit of vocabulary and that sort of thing, but I certainly didn't get any kind of a background in speaking the language.
Do you have any recollections of anything that happened during that time, good or bad, because your English was not as accomplished as you might have wanted it to be?
Do you mean during the first period of time?
Yeah, when you first came here, was there any incidents that stand out in your mind as being caused by your lack of English knowledge?
No, I don't. As soon as I came to Junction City, which is where we lived the first year and a half of our marriage, Jerry arranged for me to take private lessons from a former English teacher of his who lived in Junction City itself, and I went up there once a week or twice a week, I don't remember, for at least half a year, and she gave me a very good grounding in vocabulary and things like that. And then right on top of that is when I began on my correspondence course, where I learned a lot of English, and then after that followed. Well, I had been here about 9 or 10 months when I got a job as a secretary at one of the local schools, and that again was another good learning experience for me. And I don't remember any, I remember being fearful of meeting strangers who didn't know any Danish, and I'm sure I was very reserved for that reason, but I happened to have a good ear for languages, so I must have begun using the words that I had learned rapidly, and then, you know, one thing leads to another.
I'm interrupting for just a moment, but how did it feel to come to this country, strange land, Oregon, and find such a Danish community?
Well, it felt very natural because Jerry had prepared me for it. He had told me all about his grandparents in particular, who were Danish, and as a matter of fact, when I arrived in Eugene by plane, and Jerry came to pick me up, the first people I met were his grandparents, and so he had, I think, prepared me well for the number of people in the immediate family who understood Danish and who were of Danish extraction. So it was just, I don't know, it was just something I expected, I guess.
How much Danish do you and Jerry speak in the house now?
Well, right now we speak quite a lot of Danish because we are expecting visitors from Denmark in next month. So we are, I think Jerry is boning up on his Danish.
What about you?
I think we speak some Danish every week. But we don't have long conversations in Danish. We just use it, you know, if you want to say something funny or if we... how do we use Danish, Jerry, in that way?
Oh, I'm using it now, excuse me, consciously to brush up and to try to improve my fluency.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had three children.
Four.
Four children. Would you give me their names?
Anne-Marie, Sonia, Karsten, and Alice.
Do they all speak Danish?
No. The three older ones do, and Alice, who's 17, does not remember the Danish she learned when we were in Denmark in 1963-64. They all learned to speak Danish fluently at that time, and at that time they were 10, 9, 6, and 5, and they all went to school with the exception of Alice in Denmark. When we came back in 64, they of course entered the English or the American school system again, and little by little the Danish was pushed into the background naturally. In 1970, the two older girls went back to Denmark and attended a folk high school and brushed up on the Danish again.
Which
so now
folk
they
high school?
Boring on Fyn. And this past year, this past winter, our boy, who's 19, attended a folk high school, Ry, by Skanderborg, and he now, we hear from other people who have talked to him, speaks Danish fluently again. And of course for him, I think it's quite a feat, because it's been from 64 until 75, 11 years span between him speaking the language, I mean really being exposed to the language. Prior to his going last fall, I spoke a lot of Danish to him, and he was very reluctant to say anything in Danish back to me, but whenever I said, now what did I say to you, he would translate it for me, and it would be, I think, 9 times out of 10, it would be what I had actually said to him in Danish. So his understanding evidently has been kept up.
Have you been back to Denmark since you first left?
Yes, I was home in 1955 and 1963, 66 and 70, four different times.
What did you observe in Denmark that either surprised you, or what were the impressions in returning to your home?
Well,
I'm thinking of changes that you felt had taken place,
mm-hmm.
good or bad.
First time I went home in 55, I guess I really felt that there were very few changes that had taken place, because during the last 5 years, during the war years, you know, 40 to 45, very few changes took place in the society as a whole, because of the war effort that everybody was involved in, whether there was any battles going on in Denmark or not. And there was a lot of rationing, and in 55 there was still evidence of that. When we came back as a family in 1963, we could tell that people had become very affluent, and it was just like coming back to a different world for me. It was not the Denmark that I had left. It was much more like America. There was, in my way of thinking, there was really very little difference in some areas between between what was available, materially speaking, in Denmark and America. And I guess that the same holds true in 66 and in 70, that it was just a matter of more accelerated speed and more stuff that was available, and it seemed that TV and radio had played a fantastic role in making so many things in the Western world the same.
Jeg synes, at vi skulle prøve på at tale lidt dansk, så at vi også kan høre Siri's danske lingo.
Ja, det lyder ikke rigtigt heller.
Nej, lingo, hvor kommer det ord fra? Det lyder lidt svensk, synes jeg. Er det svensk,
Ed? Nej, jeg synes, det er amerikansk slang. Og jeg synes, vores samtale lyder som Chicago-dansk.
Nej, ved du nu hvad, Jerry? Chicago-dansk. Hvor kommer det ord fra, faktisk? Egentlig, mener jeg.
Det kommer fra den blanding mellem amerikansk og dansk, som man brugte på i Chicago.
Altså hvor man skulle være i stand til at forstå begge sprog for at kunne forstå de mennesker, som talte det.
Ja, netop.
Vi kendte jo flere i Des Moines, som talte Chicago dansk. Kan
ja.
Du huske Carl og Dagmar?
Ja. Ja.
Mange tak, mange tak. Many thanks.
Velbekomme.
Velbekomme.
Mentioning Carl and Dagmar reminds me of our 6 years in Des Moines, Iowa. And in Des Moines, Iowa, there was a church which played an important part in our lives. That's really the only time we have been members of a church community. And I sang in the choir, and the kids went to Sunday school, and Jerry was on the church board, I believe, weren't you? And we met many, many people there who had come from different parts of the Midwest, who had settled in Des Moines for one reason or another. There was an alderdomshjem, or a retirement home there, also connected with the Danish Lutheran Church in America. And by associating with many of these people, many of these old Danish people, I got a very important insight for me into the importance of the early ethnic small communities which, you know, people would come to from Denmark and settle in. And it really enriched my life so very much.
Do you mean important, Siri, in the sense that